there. Thanks for listening to Let's Talk Withdrawal, a weekly discussion on antidepressants and the issues surrounding them.
Hello, this is James, and welcome to episode 26 of Let's Talk Withdrawal, a weekly podcast discussing antidepressants and mental health. This week, we have an interview with Judy Meyer. Judy is a holistic mental health practitioner, mental health advocate, and founder of the Alternative Health Revolution. We talk about Judy's experience of the psychiatric system, her excellent and informative website, alternativementalhealthrevolution.com, and her advice for those struggling with antidepressant withdrawal. Judy, thank you so much for talking with me. I wanted to start really just by talking a little about your own experiences of the mental health care system and how you came into contact with psychiatric drugs.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I have a long family history of addiction, mental illness. My grandmother took her own life. So there's a big genetic component in my mind of family history of people who struggle with their mental health. So I knew that even as a child. As a child, I felt different. I felt shy. I struggled with feelings of sadness a lot. So when I was 19, it kind of came to a head. And I went to get help to a psychiatrist, and they put me on Prozac at that time. That was about 25 years ago.
Thank you. And Judy, this was probably at a time when getting hold of information on these drugs was very difficult. Did you know much about Prozac when you started taking it? And did your psychiatrist talk to you about adverse effects?
Yes, no, nothing like that. Of course, no one was talking about that. I did have an intuitive sense that I did not want to take medication, but there was nothing else that was offered except for talk therapy, which wasn't helping me at the time. So I reluctantly took it. And probably within 2 to 3 weeks, I attempted to take my own life.
Judy, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Well, you know, it was so long ago that I've kind of easily talk about it now. And it's so far in my rearview mirror that it doesn't hold a lot of pain for me at this time. So, but I knew that after that experience and then being in the hospital for 2 weeks, kind of almost against my will, they made me a bargain. Either I could stay for 3 days in the really high risk area or 2 weeks in the nice area. So I took the bargain. I went to the nice area with, you know, more calm people that weren't so scary for me for 2 weeks. And during that time, I just said, I don't want any medication anymore. I refuse to take it. And luckily, they allowed that. I'm not sure if they do that now, but I imagine I'd have a bit more of a tougher fight saying I don't want medication.
And Judy, I did want to ask, in relation to you attempting to take your own life, looking back on that, do you think that was medication related or was it driven by your underlying emotional distress?
It was 100% medication related. Absolutely. It pushed me over the edge. And looking back, I can see why biomedically Prozac has fluoride in it. It has all these sorts of kind of toxins that my body, I now know, really responds poorly to. So, you know, I probably would not have attempted suicide had I not been put on Prozac.
And Judy, when you came to stop your Prozac, how long had you been taking it for by that point?
It was short. It was only a couple of weeks. So I didn't, when I was in the hospital, I didn't feel like I had withdrawal symptoms per se, because I'd been on it for so long. And I was also in shock just from being in this new environment. It was funny. I almost kind of wanted to say, hey, it's okay. I'm fine. Please don't put me on medication. Look, everything's fine. So it was like the shock of just being in, you know, in this new environment where everyone was so unwell. So I didn't go through a lot of withdrawals with that. Later in my life, around my mid-30s, I also felt like I needed to do something because I was feeling depressed. And so I went on Wellbutrin in my mid-30s. And that really worked for me initially. But then I decided that, again, intuitively, I knew that I just did not want to be on medication. So, and then I had a spiritual teacher, a Tibetan Buddhist Lama, who suggested it was a good time for me to get off of that drug. And I actually just did that cold turkey, which was, as you know, not a great idea. but I managed to get through it kind of with him as a guide, and just have not been on anything ever since. So those are my two experiences with drugs and with withdrawal.
And Judy, in the intervening period, you've put a lot of your own time into looking for alternatives to medication to help people manage trauma and emotional distress. What led you to start doing that research to identify other approaches and options?
I feel like there's a lack of knowledge in the area of what people can do in terms of promoting mental wellness. When I started to look into what I could do, because I knew I needed help of some kind, but I didn't want to take medication, it felt like it was difficult to find resources. So I did a lot of library hunting. I bought books. I found the research of Abram Hoffer, Andrew Saul, the pioneers of orthomolecular medicine, which just means finding the right nutrient for your body. And they gave really specific information about vitamins that I could try. And I had a lot of success experimenting with vitamins. And some vitamins made me feel amazing. And I thought, oh, I found it. This is wonderful. And of course, from a holistic point of view, not one thing works for one person, because it is a myriad of things that contribute to mental wellness. So it did give me hope, though, as I was reading these books, that somewhere, something was going to be able to be of assistance.
Well, certainly I've recently started to appreciate, in talking to others, how complex and varied our experiences of emotional distress are. So it's right and fitting that the response to that is going to be different for everyone, and that it may take people some time to find an approach that works for them.
I completely agree. So I started this website recently to kind of address that need, and also that perspective that not one thing is going to work for every person. So the website is alternativementalhealthrevolution.com. And my aim there is just to kind of have a database of resources where people can look at different modalities and things that they can do, and then have links where they can do more research on different things that might work for them.
Well, it's an amazing resource, Judy. It's quite a library of information and alternatives to the standard drugs and talking therapy approaches. I had no idea there were so many approaches and options. And I wondered, Judy, if in your own healing journey, whether there was anything that you felt really helped you in that journey.
Yes, yes, actually. The first thing that I really responded well to is that amino acid therapy. That really made a big difference in just like helping me get out of bed. You know, I had a depression where it was difficult for me to function, get out of bed, just, you know, go about normal tasks. So some of the targeted amino acids were really important for me, and got me to a place where I could even do research on some of the other things. So for me, that was my first line of suggestions for people when they need kind of a boost to get out of that funk.
And Judy, I wanted to ask a bit more about amino acid therapy. Is it simply a question of changing your diet, or are there specific supplements that will provide the things that you may lack?
Yes, I have explored diet. I was a vegan and a vegetarian, and I found that although that made me feel a little better, that genetically I needed more of certain nutrients than food could provide, and especially with the stripping of the soil. A lot of the foods that, even if you're eating really well, don't provide enough of the nutrients that we need. So the amino acid therapy, one book that I really love on that topic is called The Mood Cure by Julia Ross. She gets very specific about matching up your symptoms. There's a quiz at the beginning, and you can take that quiz, and she really goes into specifics about which vitamins and supplements might be useful for you.
Thank you, Judy. Also, from looking at your website, it's clearly taken quite a lot of effort to put it together. And I just wondered how you go about using the website to communicate the options available to people when they are thinking about their own health and well-being.
Yes, I do coaching as well, but the resource that I mentioned is a free one. It's my intention there is just to disseminate as much information as I have, because there's so much out there that me talking to someone one-on-one is not going to give them all the information that I have. So it's kind of a way for me to put as much knowledge as I have out there for anyone to read and to find and discover. Because, you know, pharmaceutical companies are not going to give you that information. And no one's really kind of stepped up to give the public the information that's out there.
You're right. And what I love about the website is it's such a good hub to get an introduction to so many alternative approaches. There are pockets of this information out there, but often you almost need to know what it is you're looking for to be able to find it. But with your website, you give a broad range of approaches and options all in one place.
That's what I was kind of hoping for, is to have it all in one spot. Now, I just launched it on April 4th, so there are pockets of information that still need attention, and I would love it if people would go, and if they have experience with one of the modalities, like sound healing or shamanistic practices or pet therapy, any of those things that they've had experience with and they have resources that they want to share, I would love it if people would help to contribute, because obviously I don't know everything about all of the modalities, and I welcome input from people so that we can kind of form a community of people who are helping each other. That would be really wonderful. That's my aim.
That's a fantastic aim to have, and just goes to show that there are many routes to wellness, but the route that we're most often given by our doctors, particularly for mental health, can come with significant risk.
Yes. Well, one of my favorite statistics is that more than 100,000 people a year are killed by taking their pharmaceuticals as directed every year. That's a lot of people. And the number of people who are killed by taking vitamins is zero. So I just want to get that out there to let people know that they can feel safe in experimenting with vitamins, and that it's not kind of the demonistic thing where it's going to interact with your medication or you have to be afraid of it. It's not. It's very safe. So I just wanted to get that out there, because I think there's a lot of misinformation about vitamins out there.
Thank you, Judy. I think that's a very important message to share. Related to that, I wanted to ask, if you did have a friend or client or colleague who was thinking about taking an antidepressant on medical grounds, what would your advice be?
I would encourage them as much as I could to not do that. I would encourage them to look into alternatives first, try a few vitamins. I like to say that no one is deficient in pharmaceuticals. You know, they are effective initially, as we know, and that's kind of misleading, because they do use some vitamins that you can get on your own. They just aren't telling you what those components are. For instance, niacin or methylfolate or magnesium. So these are effective, but they, in order to patent them and make money off them, they need to mess around with the chemistry so that they can patent it and make money off of us. So I've always been curious why they don't put on the label what the active ingredients are.
You're right. There's more information that's hidden about these things than is publicly available, isn't there?
Yes. And if we knew kind of what the active ingredient was that they were using that was actually helping us, we would just go out and buy that nutrient.
Yes.
But they're not allowing us that information currently. So,
no, they're not. And Judy, I'm sure that, like me, you've been shocked when you've looked at the added chemicals in pharmaceuticals besides the active ingredient, because all of those other compounds may well have their own effects on the body.
Yes, absolutely. Like Prozac has the fluoride I mentioned before, which is a known toxin, you know, and they're also adding it to the water and things like that. So, you know, it goes deep. We don't like to think that people don't have our best interests at heart, but unfortunately, money oftentimes will change people. So, you know, the good people of the world who don't think that people can be manipulated in this way are going to be shocked when all of these disclosures kind of start coming out more and more about the fact that we've kind of been poisoned as a population.
The more you discover about pharmaceutical drugs, particularly psychiatric drugs, the more you come away with the sense that it's almost purely driven by profit, and people's health actually comes farther down that list of priorities.
Yes. But the trouble is that when people are in that situation, when they're feeling so bad, they don't have these other options to go to. So that is really the next step, is to provide people with alternative specific solutions that they can try on their own and see what works for them.
Well, that's certainly where your website is covering a significant gap in knowledge. It would be great if doctors and therapists themselves had a place to go like this, where they could in turn offer a range of options to their clients.
Absolutely.
And Judy, for me and others like me who are in the process of withdrawing from psychiatric drugs, I just wondered if you could recommend things that people could look to for help during that process.
Absolutely. I love that question. Well, before I dive into it, I just want to state that everyone's different. So some of these suggestions might not work for you. I'm just throwing them out there, not as medical advice, but just as a way for you to do more research if one of these things resonates with you. One of the best things that I absolutely love is to suggest that people take Epsom salt baths. This is a really easy way to get magnesium transdermally into your body. Magnesium is a calmer. It will help you sleep, so it's great to take before bedtime. You want to drink a full glass of water both before and after the bath. They also have magnesium lotion, magnesium spray. It helps with aches and pains of withdrawal. So really, magnesium is one of my favorite nutrients. 80% of people are deficient in it, and if you've been on medication, your body is further stripped of magnesium. So that is a great place to start, is to take an Epsom salt bath. And then another thing is vitamin C is really crucial to supporting your liver, which when you're detoxing, your liver could get overloaded with some of these toxins. So vitamin C is crucial in boosting your immunity, supporting your liver function. So I love vitamin C, and it's really difficult to get enough of it just by eating like oranges and things. So it's also water soluble and it cannot build up in your body. So it's not toxic. Another thing that's wonderful is taking a refrigerated probiotic. Because as you may have heard, 80% of serotonin is made in our gut. So if you're low on serotonin and you've had antibiotics, for instance, it wipes out all the good bacteria in your gut, and this may in itself lead to mood disorders. So if you've been given a lot of antibiotics, your gut health is probably wiped out of the good bacteria that actually makes serotonin. So that's a really easy thing to do to replenish the good bacteria in your gut and improve your mood.
That's important, isn't it? Because a common thread in many of the discussions I've had with people is quite significant gastric distress, either as an adverse effect or an effect of withdrawal. And if the majority of serotonin is produced in the gut, then it's no surprise that the digestive system is so badly affected.
Yes, yes. And then you can also do like kefir and fermented products to also boost that gut, good gut health as well. So another thing that I really like is to advocate drinking some fresh vegetable juices, especially in withdrawal. Carrots, celery, cucumber, ginger. The reason is it kind of bypasses the digestion process and gets those nutrients right into your intestines where they can be used quickly. You know, you can put an apple or something in there. You don't want to just drink fruit juice because that can raise your sugar levels. But, you know, once or twice a week to drink a nice fresh pressed vegetable juice is often very helpful. Oh, the other thing that you can do is really is to sit in the sun for at least 15 minutes a day to get natural vitamin D. We all know that vitamin D is super important for mood. I personally have the genetic mutation where it's called the VDR. I need to get more vitamin D to boost my mood because my genetics kind of block about half of it. So I try to get a little bit of sun every day, and that's always very helpful for my mood.
Thank you. And again, withdrawing from a psychiatric drug for many people can mean that they're housebound for periods of time, and the desire to get out in the sun is reduced, which can make that problem even worse, can't it?
Right. It compounds on itself. And then, you know, along that same line, you can also do a technique called grounding, which is putting your feet in the grass or on the earth. It helps get electrolytes into your body and balances you naturally. There's a lot of research on grounding and, you know, sun exposure that are very healing. And it's such a simple thing to do that is very effective.
Thank you. Those are suggestions which are relatively easy for people to take advantage of, but would make a significant contribution to their health and help with withdrawal.
I think so. I really do. And they all kind of add up. And you're not going to find that one thing is like, wow, this cured me. It's like a culmination of all the little things that you do and building in these new habits. And pretty soon you wake up and you're like, oh, I feel great. You know, I feel stable. My life is manageable again. One thing I did want to throw out there is if anyone is struggling with tardive dyskinesia, which is brought on like shaking, brought on by long-term use of psychiatric medications. There's a natural thing that you can do, and you can take manganese. I think that's important to mention in case someone is struggling with that, that it's oftentimes a manganese deficiency that's causing that. And it can reverse this situation, whereas a lot of medical doctors think that it's a permanent condition, but it is not. So just, you know, do more research on that if that's something that you're dealing with, or talk to your doctor about adding in manganese and see what they think. Yeah, I don't want to, you know, tell anyone to take something in particular because everyone's different, but it could be a good solution for you.
Thank you, Judy. And it's well worth looking into, isn't it? Because quite often we're told that things are permanent or not able to be managed, but that's not necessarily true.
You're so right. You're so right. And, you know, there's a lot of great books on my website that will point you in the right direction. As you're reading through the modalities and the books and the resources, just pay attention to what resonates with you. If something sounds like, oh, that sounds really good, I've always wondered about that, then follow that. Because part of this journey is also getting to know ourselves better and to listen to ourselves and waking up to our own internal truth. And frankly, I now, so many years out, consider my depression to be the greatest gift I've ever had. And, you know, I know that's hard to hear if you're struggling in it currently. You think, oh, this is never going to be a gift to me. How silly. But on the other side, it truly is, because it's shown me so much. I know myself so much better, and I'm able to, this is my life's purpose. So just thinking about that it might actually be a gift kind of turns it on its head a little bit and removes us kind of from that, why is this happening to me kind of feeling that's very disempowering.
It is, you're right. And I certainly recognize that my own struggles were my body's way of telling me that I couldn't go on living my life as I was because I just wasn't paying attention to my own health.
Yes, very true. I feel like, you know, people, we're in this kind of false society and our bodies are rebelling against it, you know, as a way to alert us.
I think there's a lot of truth in that. We're not living sustainably, and we've cut ourselves off from the simple things like sunlight and fresh air and even social contact. So it's no wonder that trauma and emotional distress is rife in so many parts in the world.
Absolutely. And then, you know, to have that experience and then your only two options are, you know, medication and to talk about it. Talk therapy is often very helpful, but not if you're dealing with like a biological situation where you have the family history, or you've had poison water, or your food is bad, or you're eating folic acid. So I guess I could talk briefly about folic acid. The government here in the United States is required to add synthetic folic acid to most of our products here. And that was one of the things that contributed to my depression, because of the MTHFR genetic mutation, where my body does not process well the synthetic folic acid. So when people go gluten-free and things, they kind of get around that. But I often think that it's a reaction to not having that folic acid anymore.
You're right. It's complicated. Some of this does require some careful research, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it's really hard to do that when you're not feeling good. I understand that. So again, that's that point of having everything in one space that's easily kind of flipped through it, not have long involved scientific articles. It's like, get to the meat of it. What do I do? So that's my aim. I'm very like short and to the point. I like to just say, try this, try this, try this. And then you can take what you need and leave the rest.
That's really important. And Judy, can you remind me where people can find you online?
So it's alternativementalhealthrevolution.com. There's also a really great website that's been around for years, Safe Harbor, whose email or whose website is alternativementalhealth.com. And there are great resources there as well. That was super helpful for me when I first started. But I'm not sure, it's several years old, so I'm hoping that mine kind of brings a new kind of fresh voice to it, keeps it constantly updated. But both of those websites are great resources for focusing on what you can do instead of what you shouldn't do. I mean, I love that people are saying pharmaceuticals are helpful or harmful for you, but, you know, what else can we do instead?
That's true, because if the medication doesn't work for you, you might feel like a failure, and you don't tend to blame the medication. You tend to be hard on yourself. But the antidote to that is to know that there are many other approaches and options to try.
Absolutely. It's very empowering to start reading about all the different things there are. And it's really unlimited because it's just so individual to ourselves, you know. Sometimes it's a spiritual problem. Sometimes it's a biochemical problem. There's just so many facets to, you know, not feeling well.
Well, thank goodness, Judy, for people like you who are willing to invest time in researching alternatives and to lay that out for people to look at and to be able to select the one that resonates with them.
Mm-hmm. And I would really love, again, other people's input, to start a discussion, to have, if you'd like to write a blog about your experience, I would love that. So it's just such a new site that it hasn't quite, you know, been promoted very much just because it's a month old, but I really would love anybody who wants to contribute to it. And there's also a place to add your name to a practitioner's list if you are someone who helps people with natural mental health.
That's great. Thank you, Judy. It's so important to me to get to talk about solutions for people who are struggling, and you've really helped me do that today.
No, and not a lot of people are talking about that. So, and it just boggles my mind. I just don't understand why. And I thought, why isn't anyone doing this? And then I thought, oh, all right, I guess I'm going to do it.
Well, good on you, Judy. If we could just channel some of the millions of pounds that go to the pharmaceutical industry into research into alternative approaches, then we could get on top of the epidemic of poor mental health. That would make a real difference.
Well, I'm optimistic. I feel like the tide is turning. I feel like that is the direction we're going, and all of this disclosure that's coming out now is going to be really surprising for people. And we're going to turn this around. I feel it coming.
We are. You're right. There is more and more being talked about recently, and people are starting to get the message that what we've been sold is nothing like the truth in relation to psychiatric medications. If these drugs were ineffective but benign, that would be one thing, but they're not even benign. They're quite harmful in so many respects.
Yes. And the disturbing thing is that it's on purpose. That's what's really hard to swallow, that people could do that knowingly to other people. It just boggles my mind as someone who only wants to help people. And most people, it boggles their mind. They can't imagine that people are doing this on purpose, which is, it really breaks my heart.
Me too. I really despair that we're giving these drugs to children and parents are being coerced into drugging youngsters with the false promise that this will fix some non-existent problem. That's deeply troubling, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. But, you know, I really like the law of attraction where, you know, whatever you focus on is what you create. So I really try to, like, just focus on solutions. It's hard to, with all of these disclosures coming out, without saying, hey, look, everybody, wake up to the fact, but here's what you can do. You know, here's where we're going. Here's the hope that's involved. Yeah. So I'm hopeful, James.
Judy, thank you. You being part of the podcast is really important to me. So thank you for giving up so much of your time to chat with me today.
I'm grateful to you as well. You're a wonderful voice in this movement, and it really takes someone special to stand up and do this. And I'm so thrilled. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
It was really interesting to talk with Judy and to be able to explore some of the many options for help and support for those who are in the process of or have withdrawn from psychiatric drugs. As a reminder, Judy's website is alternativementalhealthrevolution.com. It really is a wealth of information for anyone interested in alternative approaches to health and well-being. You can find a link to this and to the other resources Judy mentioned on my website too. Go to jfmoore.co.uk/podcast and choose episode 26 from the list.
Feedback.
Thank you so much for getting in touch and giving me your feedback and comments. Also, I just wanted to thank all of you who have taken the time to write a review in iTunes. I'm really grateful to you. We have 30 reviews now, including some from the UK, USA, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. More reviews will really help to get people listening and to raise awareness. So if you have 2 minutes, please leave a review and a star rating in iTunes. Thank you so much for your support. Just to say also that if you're struggling with withdrawal yourself, you can visit my website, jfmoore.co.uk, where there are links to information you may find useful.
Please do not increase, decrease, or stop your psychoactive prescription medication without the advice and support of a medical or mental health professional.
Thank you so much for listening. Please come back next week for another episode. And until next time, take care. We'll be right back.
Thank you so much for listening to Let's Talk Withdrawal. Come back next week for more news and views. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review and subscribe in iTunes.